Today on Real Radio.
Living life the hard way is a life, is a family, is a nation without God. This is so sad. The leaders begin to become corrupt. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says that where there is no vision, God's people perish.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. You know, there are a lot of life lessons that we have to learn, and at some point in life we figure out there are two ways to learn those lessons. The hard way or the easy way? Well, chapter 8 of 1 Samuel is one such example of how the nation of Israel wanted to be just like the other nations, even though they were warned against it. They wanted a king not only to rule, but to get in there and clean up the government of the time. Sounds like a good idea, right? Well, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson called Living Life the Hard Way.
God has no grandchildren. Did you know that? Only his own. And here's the deal. Well, my dad saved. Praise the Lord for your dad. My mom saved. Praise the Lord for your mom. But you're not getting there because of them. And you're not getting there with them. You're getting there with Jesus. God has no grandkids. And I said this one time at a Christian high school, and I didn't know that they held a different doctrine to all that. If you're born into a Christian home, you can be Satan himself and you're going to go to heaven. That's what they teach. If you're born into a Christian home, you're automatically in. And I tell you, the principal came up to me and the guy was wagging his finger at me. I thought he looked like a helicopter. He's coming at me. And man, that he's like this. And I did exactly what you're doing. I'm just going, whoa, what? And he told me, we believe that if our kids are born into a Christian home, they go to heaven no matter what they believe. And I said, you know what? I am out of here. I am so out of here. I dusted off my feet and I got out of there. That is heresy. All that does is breed a bunch of lost kids. Isn't that terrible? That comes from the background of not wanting to face the truth. It comes from not evangelizing your own kids. What would it profit a man, I'm making this part up, if he should evangelize the whole world and lose his own house? What does it matter if a man travels around the world preaching Christ and his own kids don't make it? At least this, make sure your kids have heard the gospel. If they choose to reject it, tragically, Ezekiel teaches us their blood is on their own hands. But may we be the watchmen blaring that trumpet of warning to be ready. God was in the heart of Samuel, no doubt about it. But God has no grandchildren. The Bible says here in verse 3, it all begins at home in this way. Also, was God in their thoughts? He was in Samuel's thoughts, but he wasn't in their thoughts. Look at the latter end of verse 3. They turned aside to dishonest gain. They took bribes and they perverted justice. Wow. Number two, boo-boo, is this. They turned aside. They didn't walk in his ways. Not only that, they turned aside. They willfully turned away from what is suggested here, the straight and narrow path. Remember what Jesus says? Jesus said that the way into the kingdom is very narrow and very straight, and few people find it. But broad is the way, right? And many people be on the path of destruction. It's the easy path. Here's what concerns me regarding our culture. Most of our children have not been prepared to fight for that which is right, to fight for that which is good. Most of our children have not been trained how to contend for life, let alone the faith. We're a culture that gives up so easy. I tell you, in preparing for this today, I read the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence today. And the reason why is because as we go through this, we're talking about a man and his boys. But it's going to affect the leadership of the community. The rulers are going to come. And that's going to go to affect the nation. And what they decide affects the world here in this chapter. And as I looked at this, it became so clear to me that if we fail to instruct our children in what God has done, that today, as I read, when they left off in the preparing of the Constitution, the note, the historian's note was it was an extremely hot and sweltering summer. And those men that gathered, they prayed every day for God's hand to establish the Constitution. It took them 4.5 months to write it in sequestered settings. Nobody knew. It was secret for fear of infiltration or attack. They considered it a divine work, they said. Boy, you don't get this in modern school today, do you? And when it was done, the authors were asked, "What do you think?" And I don't remember who it was, Hamilton or one of the others had stated, "This is a miracle. This is a divine document from God. It is a miracle." And they all agreed, "Yes, it's a miracle." But you don't read that. You don't hear that. These boys turned aside. And so will the rulers, and so will the nation, as history goes on from this chapter. It's tragic. I'm afraid that when they turned aside, they threw the thought of God far from them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says, "For they did not like to retain God in their thinking or knowledge. And so then God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind." Romans 1, 28. Hey, that happens today. People, "I don't want to think about God. I don't want God in my life. I don't want God." And you just stay that way. "I don't want God." And God says, "Okay, you don't have to have me." And he shuts the door. Isn't that radical to think? He just shuts the door on them. And in Romans chapter 1, 28, he says, listen, because they didn't want to retain God in their thinking, the Bible says he gives them up to a reprobate mind. Boy, how tragic. Number three, boo-boo, is this. They went after dishonest gain. They went after dishonest gain. That word here in the Hebrew means to take what is desirable to the eyes without permission. It's a form of stealing. They went after dishonest gain in the area of money or that which is considered income back then. Could have been cattle, could have been food, could have been things. They saw something and they went, "Whoa, I like that. Woo, want it." And they went after it. Dishonest gain. They acquired to themselves, listen, something that they did not earn. It's a form of stealing. You know what? It was then and it is now. God's mind never changes. But you see, if we mention these things today, because we're such a politically correct society, "Oh, my son's not a thief. He's just possession challenged. Desirably friendly toward other people's items." You know, I don't know what, we always have this excuse. And this is terrible. We are the society now, you know, of the victim. I heard today on the news that a man who raped and murdered, the courts condemned him to death. His attorney appealed, and a state Supreme Court overturned the lower court's decision based on, and you heard it on the news tonight if you're watching it, based on one of his 24 personalities. Only one out of the 24 was the one that agreed and confessed to the killing. And so based upon that, there was not substantial enough of evidence as the testimony of a whole person, and he was excused. He was let off. 1/24th of me didn't agree, and then the stories go on. "Well, I'm this way because," and on it goes. Oh my goodness. This stuff happens when people don't want to retain God in their thinking. Isn't that frightening? Every man is doing what's right in their own eyes. This is what Samuel's boys will grow up to be like. They went after dishonest gain. They didn't walk in his ways, number one. Number two, they turned aside. Number three, they went after dishonest gain. Selfish things. I want it, so I took it. Wow. Self-centeredness. Number four, look, as we go through here, they went after taking bribes. The word in Hebrew here is to receive or to give, either way, to receive or to give a gift with demands or requests attached to it. Favors. Will you give me this money and I'll vote on this deal? If you give me $100,000, I'll go up to the Congress and I'll see to it that this guy votes for your state. Bribes. It's illegal. Well, it used to be illegal. It's not right with God, I'll tell you that. Isn't that amazing? They began to take bribes, these quote men of God, close quote. You say, yeah, but they were pastor's kids. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I refuse to buy that. They took bribes. The fifth boo-boo that they did is that they went after the perverting of justice. Listen to this. In the Hebrew, it is a systematic undermining or redefining of what is right. A systematic, that means a very careful execution to undermine what is right, what is proper, to pervert justice. It's to look at justice in the face, and it's to redefine. This is what Samuel's sons did, and God says they're in trouble for it. Doesn't it sound like our culture? To redefine words and redefine law, to wiggle your way out of what you're guilty of? Living life the hard way. Verses 4 through 5, we see our second point, and that is it spreads among the community. When someone decides to live life without God, it really affects the community that's around us. How so? Well, listen, the leaders become corrupt, for one thing. You want to know why? Because people grow up and they become leaders. It says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. The elders began to seek. And you might say, well, that's a good thing, Jack. They're going to seek a change because they don't trust Samuel's boys. That's not exactly the whole truth. The first thing I want you to note in verse 4 is that the leaders became corrupt. People grow up. People began to be an influence in the community. Living life the hard way without God. People automatically grow up. They begin just by age to be able to assume the mantle of being a responsible person in the community. And if they turn aside to their own ways, and if bribery is no big deal, you know, if he just bribes people in private, that's his business. It doesn't affect me. If we get this isolationist thinking, you have to understand something. Israel, like the United States, it's not a vacuum. What you do, what I do, affects one another. And this is not being said these days. Your child will grow up. And here's the tragic thing. Would to God that our kids who love the Lord would grow up and run for political office. But now, that realm, you don't want to send your kids to the lions. They can almost walk on water, but somebody will concoct something to destroy them. But you don't want to have that keep your kid out of running for office. But early America was filled with people who loved the Lord. George Washington loved God. Read his writings. He's born again. He's in heaven. We're going to go see him. George and Martha, they'll be up there together. Abraham Lincoln, what a born-again man he was. Man. Oh, I tell you. Thomas Jefferson, when you go to the Jefferson Memorial, anybody been there? You see the four granite sheets hanging, two in front of him, two behind him, all about and consulting and inquiring about God and to God for the nation. One night in the middle of the summer, it was very late, probably 12 or 1 o'clock at night, because the heat wave was so great, they delayed everything in D.C. Everybody came out at night. People were dying from the heat. We were taking a tour there, and my precious uncle who lives back there, we were touring D.C. late at night, and we're all together, and we get to the Jefferson Memorial, and this National Park Service ranger starts telling us that Thomas Jefferson was a New Age crystal ball wacko. And between my uncle and I, we almost beat that guy up. It was that he didn't know anything. I can't believe that my tax dollars were paying his salary. He didn't know anything about Thomas Jefferson. Hadn't even read his own stuff. Broke my heart. Living life the hard way is a life, is a family, is a nation without God. This is so sad. The leaders begin to become corrupt. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says that where there is no vision, God's people perish. And I believe these leaders, as you'll see in a moment, had lost the vision of God, failing to include God in our daily lives. Very dangerous. In verse number 5, or the 5th verse, we see this, that spreads among the community, and that the nation becomes corrupt. They said to Samuel, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us, look, like all the nations." Or some of your Bibles say, more accurately, like all the other nations. Samuel, come on, you're an old guy. Your sons are nincompoops. We don't want them. And you're an old guy. We don't need to listen to you anymore. Make us a king like all the other nations have. Do you hear that? We want to be like all the other nations. Listen, Israel is not going to be like all the other nations of the earth. They cannot. They're God's chosen people to this hour. It's true. He will fulfill his promises. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And in the midst of the news, even tonight, he is still keeping Israel. He will preserve her. Even with what's going on there now, he is in control. I don't understand it, but he's in control. And outside of Israel, there's no other nation on the face of the earth that had a biblical beginning but the United States of America. Know your history. Even at the test, I'm sorry, I'm full of this stuff tonight. Even the testimony of a great Indian chief who was hired by the French to kill George Washington in battle. And so this chief told the French army, here's the deal. He always comes through here. You can get a good line of shot here. You can shoot him. And sure enough, Washington comes by, and George Washington receives 5 shots to his torso, upper torso, 5 shots. While all the stuff was going on, Washington's ordering people this way and that. There's a lot of noise going on. The cavalry are moving about and getting ready to depart and go. And this guy, this sharpshooter with this Indian chief, bah, bah. Nothing happens to Washington. Years later, Washington, who was a mathematical genius, George Washington was given the task to survey the Ohio River Valley. He was good at math. He knew how to use the surveyor's tools. And so he went out. And in his journeys through the Ohio River Valley, the land was going to be divided and given to veterans of war. He met up with that Indian chief. He didn't know it, but the chief came up to him and he said, "I know who you are. You are the General George Washington. And I want to tell you something. Years ago at this certain battle, I was hired by the French to kill you. That sharpshooter shot you 5 times. Yet God's hand was on you. God protected you and spared you for a great purpose." This Indian told George Washington that. And it was true. Washington makes mention that in his own clothing that he was wearing that day received 5 shots down to the last thread of clothing against his body, never piercing his skin. He didn't know it until he got back to his quarters. The testimony of an Indian general. But the people here, the leadership says, "Now make us a king, Samuel, like all the other nations." I just want to say that this is the saddest chapter. And there's only one verse, I think, that rivals this, is John 1:10. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it's so sad. It says that Jesus Christ, he came unto his own. He made the worlds, but his own did not receive him. Wow. God says, "Israel, I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to feed you with manna and give you everything you need. I'm going to shelter you with myself throughout the wilderness." And they blow him off. And they say, "You know what? We don't want God to be our king. We want a king like all the other nations." That's a sad thing. There's going to come a day in the millennium when Jesus reigns that the leaders of the nations then, it's going to be amazing. You ever read about that and throughout Isaiah and Jeremiah where Jesus is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem? You know, by the way, he has to, or else he's not Jesus. And for a millennium, for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign over the governments of the earth. And the governments are going to have kings and presidents and all that. But their leadership, they are going to be called upon to willfully subject their leadership to Christ in Jerusalem. Did you know that? And it says there in the scripture that if a people refuse to come up to Jerusalem and worship Christ, that really what is a time of Passover celebration, a lamb will be sacrificed once a year in the millennium to point back to what Jesus had done for us. And it says if they fail to come and worship the Lord, the scripture says God will withhold rain from their country. A little bit of an incentive to come and worship, huh? Hey, how it goes in your house is how it goes in the city. It's how it goes in the church. It's how it goes in our state. It's how it goes in our country. And I look around and I shudder when I see the things that are taking place. But then there's great hope. I look around and I see your kids. You say, "Not my kids." Yeah, your kids. You've given them Jesus. They're going to have their bumps. But the Bible promises us that if we train up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, he will return. And that passage means that he, all the days of his life, will have to struggle and argue and kick with the scriptures during his time of rebellion. But the hope and prayer is he'll humble his heart and come to him and bow his heart to Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a lesson called Living Life the Hard Way. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8, an amazing yet sad part of Israel's history. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get your pen and paper ready. We've got some contact info we'll have for you in just a minute. But first,
the world has got fears today. And you, Christian, are the only one that has the right answer for them.
In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told to be prayerful, vigilant, and knowledgeable in God's word because we are in the last days.
Can you hold up your compass, your Bible? This is your compass for today.
With compass in hand. It's part of Pastor Jack's lessons called the Get Ready Series, a collection of studies related to Bible prophecy.
Therefore, three things he lists: be serious, watchful, in your prayers. So be praying.
For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD called With Compass in Hand.
Your God knows the future in advance. He doesn't keep it to himself. He's revealed it in the Word of God, which came through the prophets.
Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.